Capitol Hill is a little off kilter this week. The House is out of session, but the Senate is in, and both chambers working on their strategies to get your agency's spending plan for fiscal 2015 finished on time. David Hawking, senior editor of Roll Call, is here. And I wonder if it seems like maybe it might, the hill might tilt when one chamber's in and the other's not.
One might tilt, because the other side, the side that's left,
yes,
so filled with hot air that it just rises like a balloon.
Well, if one side of the hill or the other was going to rise because of hot air, it would happen long before 2014. I just suspected that maybe everybody that was on the hill might at some point slide toward Union Station because of all the weight being on the Senate side.
That's an interesting point. Yes, weight. Yes, there is weighty matters that they're discussing or not.
In more serious business, Dave, when the House is out and that's where all the budget action is happening right now, is the Senate able to really conduct much business regarding the 2015 budget requests right now?
Well, there are two Senate Appropriations Subcommittee hearings. One on defense research and one on money to regulate the financial industry under the Dodd-Frank bill, and that's it for the week. But that's not because the House is gone. That's just really because the Senate is proceeding at a more deliberate pace at the moment than the House is, because the Senate Appropriations Chairwoman Barbara Mikulski knows that her opportunity to bring bills to the floor doesn't. She has been given this opportunity, which is a break from tradition the last couple of years. Harry Reid, the last few years, didn't allow any appropriations bills to even come to the floor. This year, he has promised her, Mikulski, 2 weeks in June and 2 weeks in July. So she's still got some time.
The House comes back next week, and so do we expect that when they get back, we'll get back to the same kind of tenor of markups and hearings and so on, or are we just about out of that season now?
No, I think on the House side, it's moving along. Sort of, this is the regular order before the inevitable impasse. Hal Rogers, the House Chairman, seems to have a plan that he's able to stick to. To get all dozen of these bills done sometime this summer. Now, there could be wrenches that come into his way. He's only going to be able to do that if and this is a little bit down in the weeds, but maybe not for your listeners. He's only going to be able to do that if the House Republican leadership allows the less controversial bills to be openly debated on the floor of the House, but comes up with some strictures for the debate ground rules on some of the more contentious bills, particularly the mother of all contentious domestic spending bills, which is the one for labor, health and human services, and education. That one will only ever get done by the House if the House Republicans limit the number of amendments and limit what you can say in your amendment.
Is that contentious on an ongoing basis, or is just contentious now because it's got Affordable Care Act provisions in it?
It is always the most contentious because it is, and only the more so because of Affordable Care Act, but it's been for the last 10, 15 years, the most contentious one because, it is where so many of the small government deregulatory Republicans want to make their stand. Everything on from regulations of the balance between labor and industry that has to do with the Labor Department to, Common Core standards on education to health fund, abortion funding given HHS, the list goes on and on.
The Speaker of the House said today, John Boehner, that he will run for re-election and he expects to be Speaker. And normally this isn't the kind of thing that I care about or that my audience cares about, but in this particular case, it speaks about what the House of Representatives may do and how they may conduct their business for the foreseeable future. And when we think about it in the context of those spending bills and so on, and sequestration in the long term, the Pentagon's been waging this campaign against sequestration now for a couple of months on 2016. It's instructive, I think, to look at what the leadership means if Boehner stays Speaker. That means Eric Cantor probably stays Majority Leader. That means the floor schedule on the House side probably looks similar to the way that it's looked over the last couple of years. And it probably means long-term business as usual for the House as long as he's Speaker. Are any of those statements that I just made not accurate in your view, Dave?
No. I think that's pretty accurate. I think that the degree to which the pace and rhythm of Congress changes after this fall, the way the House changes after this fall, will have to do with the 2016 and the election campaign. Not so much with who the leadership is, especially if the leadership doesn't change. In other words, I think John Boehner now, he wouldn't have said this quite as unequivocally unless he was pretty certain he could be reelected by his colleagues. He seems at this point, with 6 months to go before the election, the de facto election of Speaker would happen a month after that, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, he seems like he's got it locked down. He seems to have done what he needed to do to hold the conservative firebrands at bay, to build a coalition in the middle. So what that would mean is that in the final 2 years of the Obama administration, he would have the confidence of his troops, and we're confident that he will be Speaker because there's really no sense politically that the Democrats could win back the House. So he would have the confidence of the Republican majority to go after the waning days of the Obama administration and however he saw fit, and move the minimalist legislative agenda however he saw fit.
And another reason I mentioned Speaker Boehner is because he's commenting about two executive branch employees that are under fire, and I think making interesting comments about both. One of them is Eric Shinseki, the Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs, and he is very conspicuously breaking from the his Veterans Affairs Committee Chairman, Jeff Miller, in saying he's a little apprehensive about asking General Shinseki, Secretary Shinseki, to resign. The other executive branch employee he's talking about is Lois Lerner, the Internal Revenue Service, a career employee there, not a political appointee as Secretary Shinseki is. But, I mean, what potential benefit is there for him to talk about arresting a former federal employee like Ms. Lerner? I mean, I understand that there are political calculations about what she did or didn't do when she was in office, but I don't know where this whole arresting thing came from.
Well, unless I dramatically misread what I read about what he said about Ms. Lerner, my takeaway was that he essentially was trying to put that story to bed for good.
Yes, that's what it sounded like to me, too. But, I mean, I don't even know where
the arresting bit came from.
Well, yes.
That was our story. CQ roll call reported last week that there is actually a quirk in, or not even a quirk, a never-invoked provision of federal law that would actually theoretically allow the sergeant-at-arms of the House to go and arrest Ms. Lerner and, you know, hold her up in the Capitol indefinitely.
Oh, is there anybody that thinks that that's a good idea? I mean,
nobody thought that was I don't think anybody thought that was a good idea. I think that's what Mr. Boehner was trying to put that one to rest. I will tell you that it's the most popular single story that the CQ Roll Call website has moved in the last couple of weeks. Several hundred thousand visitors to that story because, you know, that's just the polarizing nature of the world in which we live.
Okay. When I say I'll take your word for it, I'm not talking about the success that you've had with that story, but I have a hard time imagining why anybody thinks that that would be a good idea at this point.
There is a certain faction of the Republican base that will not rest until somebody's head rolls somewhere.
Well, as we just come off Public Service Recognition Week last week, though, for that image to be an image that's out there about what people want from a well-functioning government, arresting employees doesn't seem to really be at the top of the list. But
that's right. Now, I'll just say, I think to your point, I think what Speaker Boehner is saying is what several senior Republicans have been saying, which is that if you want to get to the bottom of any shortcomings at the VA, sort of decapitating the secretary, politically decapitating the secretary before that inquiry has really even gotten underway is, you know, is bad policy as well as bad politics.
David, always appreciate your insight, my friend. Thanks very much.
Take care, Francis.
David Hawkins, senior editor of Roll Call, and you can find a link to his Hawkins Here blog, which I read every day, and you can hear my conversation with David later this afternoon at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.